Welcome to the 2011 London International Mime Festival, and to this discussion following the performance of Sans Objet by Compagnie Sentence Aurélien Bory from France. This session is being recorded for broadcast by theatrevoice.com.
If you're staying for the post-show discussion, since I have the mic and you don't, why don't you come nearer so that I can hear your questions? Because if you're far there, we won't hear your question. I get the impression we're about to start, aren't we? The lights are dimming. Okay, first of all, this is the director and creator of this show, Aurélien Bory.
Thank you.
Well-deserved applause, I completely agree with you. My name's Dick McCaw from the Mime Festival, and I'd like to start just by thinking back to, this is the fifth show you've done for the Mime Festival. The last four big ones, one was in this stage with a huge ramped sort of set with little bits that came out, and it was basically a juggling act, kind of. The next one, huge big scaffolding bars. I mean, it couldn't be more different from the last. The most recent one at the Barbican last year, it's like a huge big puzzle. In fact, it was a puzzle, wasn't it? It's the Chinese puzzle, the Tangram. But I mean, pieces that were just immense. And this time, a machine. I can't believe how each time you make a piece, it seems to be completely and utterly different. Different materials, different ideas. What is the common theme? Do you see a common theme in your work? Because would you agree that the materials are quite different?
Yeah, I try to make, at each time I start a new project, I try to go in different fields, actually. I don't want to do the same, and so I take my time to really to have a new challenge, actually, and to enter a different field. But at the same time, I follow a line, which is a space, and the relationship with the space. I think I take theater as the art of space. I try to propose a poem in space, and so every material that can explore the space in a particular way, I'm very interested in that. I think he agrees.
This talk's being recorded for theatrevoice.com. You'll notice we have microphones and you'll notice you don't. So when you ask a question, first off, I'll repeat the question, okay? The lights are quite strong, so if I go like that, I can see your arms. So you put your arm up, you ask the question, I'll repeat the question. You've probably gathered Aurélien, though his English is perfect, isn't actually English, he's French. So if we trip up over a word, I'll try and translate, and if I can't think of it, A, I have my friend Steve there. B, I bet there's some people here who speak perfect French and English as well. So we'll get by. Okay, who would like to ask the first question? Right up there, and then I've got one there. Is the machine very shy? Because the lady would like to have applauded it.
Yeah, thank you first. And after the, actually, in the bow, the machine doesn't bow, the operator, Tristan Baudouin, bow. It is this big man in black.
And so he's the one who took the bow for the
For the machine. He's the machine, actually. And we work like puppetry. Mm. It is the same kind of work, but it is a technological one. And Tristan is one of my technicians that work in the other show. And we send him in the in the industry of robots to make a to know how to operate the robot, and it was very long work for him, and he has done that perfectly. It was really amazing. Mm-hmm. And so at each time he entered to Bo, there is something that's coming in the audience. I'm very proud of it, because I consider technician like part of the action, as the light, the sound, or the scenery. Because in my shows, everything takes part in action, in the action. Not only the actors, but also everything that can be on stage. So, the bow is for him.
There was a question up here. So, although she said the question's really been answered already, the question was, is the machine pre-programmed? And as you've just said, no.
Yes, it is. Most part of it is a program, but Tristan can trigger it. I mean, he has a go. And the robot go to the next line of the programmation, next point. So it is a way to keep the timing and to be able to play with the actors. But there's also some part of the show which is not a program. For example, the whole first scene, the 10 minutes dance of this black plastic, it is it moves axis by axis of the machine, and it is always there is a script, a scenario, but it is improvisation because the plastic sheet doesn't react the same times every day, because it is kind of, you know, we cannot know. So if it is, if it would be a program, we couldn't do it. So it adapt itself to the reaction of the plastic and move axis by axis. Also, there's also few spots where it is like that, manual. But most part of it, for example, with the big boards like this, the architecture of that, it is of course a program, because it is precise, you know, it's very, very precise. And I want it to work that way, because the machine can be precise, so precise that it's incredible. It is the precision, it is un dixième de millimètre.
Within a tenth of a centimeter.
Yeah. Of a millimeter.
Millimeter.
A tenth of a millimeter. This is the precision, which is incredible.
There was a question up here, was I right? No. Where's the next? Okay, the one in red. That's the question I always ask. Do these ideas just come to you? And then he added, like, in a dream. So where do your ideas come from, Aurélien?
Yes, actually, we need time. We need time to, because of course ideas are very precious, but it doesn't come in one day. So so every show took us something like 2 years, and I really believe that most of the idea came from stage, experiencing, trying things. Actually, every day I come in repetition, I have no idea of what we're gonna do. And I try to discover what surprised me, actually. And so everybody is very involved in the researching. And by chance, we have an idea. For example, all the scene with this plastic, with the sound, and with the light. This arrived with the contribution of at least 5 or 6 person in the room. And by chance, a little bit, you know, I didn't. It was not me in my paper book. Say, oh, I'm gonna do that. This doesn't work. But in the paper book, what works is the idea with the robot. Means why to make a show with the robots. And there's two ways that lead me there. It was first of all, in my shows, I always try to combine object and movement. So space on stage is always object, like big puppetry, even abstract one, that can move. And so object in movement, the perfect object in movement is a robot. And also the other way is our relationship today with technology. It is a very interesting one and very complex one, and it's increasing day after day. And I wanted to make a dialogue between man and machine, because what is alive and what is not alive, the border between them is blur now. It's not so clear that by the past. And it is very interesting, I think, because technology is something that we hate and that we love at the same time, equally. And so it is our future, but it is also our past, because this kind of robot, the six-axis arm, it is from the 70s. So I was born in 72. I was born in a world where exists this kind of machine. So it belongs to our world today, and I wanted to not to judge this, not to send to throw messages, but just to say, okay, this is fragment of the world, and let's look at it maybe in a different way.
You and then Natalie.
There are much more advanced robots today than that one, including humanoid robots who could actually be even more part of the performance. Have you considered using those, that kind of technology as well?
So as you were saying, that's rather an old robot. Have you thought of using newer, more humanoid type robots?
Yes, the robotics are actually now very about in Japan. Japanese are very, very good at that. They are maybe 20 years in advance compared to Europe or United States. And so I Googled. You Google robots, and you know everything that you can, that you can have about robots. It's very impressive what the Japanese do. Humanoid. That can talk, that can react, facing faces, reaction. So this is very incredible, and to mix. They do amazing experience. Actually, it's so this is the future. This is today and the future. But on stage, I was not interested to use this high technology machine. I wanted to say, okay, what is the starting point? And I use this robot, the industrial robot, because it is the first one. It is the first robot on the Earth. The idea of the robot is very old, even antique, maybe archaic. But the first robot, really, in our world, was the industrial robot, this arm. Because it is the same robot in the 70s, actually, only computer and electronics and power. Change, but it is the same concept. So I was very interested in this starting point. Okay, this is the beginning of our story with robots.
Natalie. What excites you creatively in life?
What is my inspiration? Yeah. This is the question. Inspiration. A lot of things. A lot of things. I put my antenna everywhere I can, because I'm very curious, and I like to discover things that I don't know. It is my favorite hobby. So in books, in paintings, the art. Generally, but also science. I was basically a scientist before being an artist. I've done some physics studies, mm-hmm. and mathematics, and yes, this is this kind of inspiration. And I can, you know, all the visual art, including movies, video art. So, but for this work, I was really inspired by the writer Heinrich von Kleist, a German one from the 18th century. And he has written a book about puppetry. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know this book?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
It is 20 pages. Mm. It is a very little text, which is completely... beautiful. Mm. It's very beautiful. So it was my big inspiration for this show and for my shows generally. But I wanted the first scene is completely inspired by this text. And I wanted even to put that text in the show, and finally I didn't do that. But Heinrich von Kleist was... I have a lot, I don't know why, maybe because I'm Colmar-born, which is in Alsace, in the border of Germany. But most of the artists I love are German. Heinrich von Kleist, Bach in music, Bach, or Oskar Schlemmer from the Bauhaus. The Bauhaus was a big source of inspiration too. What they did with a mix of architectures and art. All this inspired me.
We've got time for one. Oh my God. I said 20 minutes. I haven't had anybody from over here.
There's a really pressing one down here.
There's a really pressing one there.
How did you get the robot?
You have to admit that's a damn good question.
This is the important question.
That's the important question.
Yeah.
It's the one we all want to know.
Yeah, it's the one everybody wants to know, actually. And it is a second-hand robot. It's not a new robot. And I discovered there is a market of second-hand robots. I didn't know that. It's very funny. So there's a lot of because the big industry changed their robots every 5 or 10 years. So there is a lot of small industries that want those robots, which are much cheaper than the new one. So I didn't buy even very expensive. So, and it's easy now. You go in internet, you say second-hand robots, and you have all the solution.
His poor mother's gonna have to buy him a huge robot now.
But more seriously, actually, it's not possible to own a robot without a license. You need to have a license in order to use it. So you buy the license.
Aurelia, thank you for such generous answers to the questions. Thank you for such interesting questions. And good night.
Thank you very much.